Well, we're going to be in Romans chapter 5 tonight as we take up the seventh question of the Orthodox Catechism. And let's open with a word of prayer before we begin. Father, again, we come and ask for your blessing upon your word. Ask, Lord, that you would give us an understanding. Pray, Father, that you would apply it to our own hearts. Pray, Lord, that in this we would see that our only hope is in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the grace that you afford to sinners to it. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last time we looked at question 6, where we answered the question, how did God make us? And we saw that God made us very good. And that meant that he made us to be very good in the knowledge of God, in righteousness, our moral character and relationships with one another, and our holiness, our relationship to God. And in the original creation, we were without sin in those things. So it begs the question, how is it we now find ourselves sinners? Where does that sin come from? What on earth happened? How did I get the way I am? And so that's what we want to take in up tonight. The Catechism puts it this way: from what source does the wickedness of man's nature arise? And we see the answer to that in Romans 5:12, where we read, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." So we're going to cover this under 2 points. Sin came and sin spread. So our text tells us that through one man, sin entered into the world. So the first thing we have to do is take note that sin entered. And the clear implication is there was a time that sin was not. There was a time sin didn't exist. Sin was not part of the original creation. Genesis 1 narrative confirms that. God made all things very good. Sin was nowhere to be found. So the question is, where did it come from? And the scriptures tell us here that it came through one man. Okay, we read in Genesis 5, 1-3, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth." Now Genesis 5, 1-3, Adam was created in God's image as a son. Okay? And then Adam fathered children in Adam's likeness. Okay, that's a key comparison and a contrast there that we have to keep in mind. And when Adam fathered children in his likeness, one of the things he passed on to them was his sin. Because what we have to understand here in the narrative here of Genesis 5 is between the end of verse 2 in the beginning of verse 3 is when the fall takes place. If you look at 5, 1 and 2, it talks about God creating man, making him in the likeness of God, creating them male and female, blessed them, named them man in the day when they were created. Okay, so it anchors that to the sixth day, when man was still very good. And then we jump ahead 130 years. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness according to his image and named him Seth. And what had transpired in there was the fall. Adam fell into sin. His nature was corrupted, so that when Adam then fathered children in his own likeness according to his image, part of that likeness and part of that image that he passed on to his progeny was that they were born in sin. And so it was communicated to them, and thus death spread to all men. Spurgeon said, "We as Adam's offspring were heavy losers by the offense of our first father, the head of our human race. We have lost the Garden of Eden and all its delights, privileges, and immunities, its communion with God, and its freedom from death. We have lost our first honor and health, and we have become the subjects of pain and weakness, suffering and death. This is the effect of the fall." So sin came to us through Adam. It means Adam was the channel through which sin came into being in God's creation. It came through Adam. It came through the freedom of his will and the free exercise of his will in eating the forbidden fruit. And then, ironically, sin takes away that freedom by bringing all mankind into bondage to it. The sin spoken of is Adam's free exercise of his will in disobeying God by eating the forbidden fruit. Sin is identified as being against God. It has a stress upon the guilt it imposes upon mankind. And it is a principle of operation that Adam was the channel through which sin came, and sin was the channel through which death came as the punishment for sin. Adam is not called out in this passage by name. If we look at Romans 5:12, it just says, "Therefore, just as through one man." However, that one man doesn't mean one as in the number one. It means one as in one particular, unique individual. It denotes a specific person. And contextually in verse 14, we see that it was Adam. It says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses." The reign of death began with Adam. Now, you might say, "Well, that's Adam. That's not me." Okay, so what's this got to do with me? I wasn't the one who ate the forbidden fruit. Paul goes on to say, "So death spread to all men because all sinned." You're going, "Wait a minute. How did I sin? I wasn't even there." Well, I sinned in Adam. Sin and death spread by virtue of being born of Adam. Where it says that death spread to all men, it means that death passed through to all men. It passed through Adam. It passed through sin as that channel. That's the principle of operation here. It passed all the way through to all men. Adam was head and representative of the human race. It's through Adam's federal headship of all humanity that sin is imputed to all who are born of Adam. And thus, all born of Adam are subject to the wages of sin, which is death. Now, death here in our passage speaks of both a physical death and a spiritual death. We are subject to sin and physical death as a consequence of our fallen nature. If we die that physical death while we remain in our sin, we are then subject to spiritual death, the eternal punishment for our sin in hell. Now, you might come to a text like this in its clarity, in its brevity, in its conciseness of these truths, and you might say, "You know what? This just isn't fair. It isn't fair that the actions of Adam are imputed to me, and I receive the consequences of what Adam did." But if you want to pull out the fairness card, I would caution you to not be too quick to do that. Because if that's not fair, then neither is the gospel. For you see, it's the same principle of operation by which eternal life will come. It comes through the federal headship of Jesus Christ and of all those who are born of the second Adam by grace through faith. Christ came to keep the law for his people. Christ came to bear the punishment for their sin so that his righteousness is imputed to those who repent and believe. In other words, Christ did all that was necessary for salvation, and those who are born of Christ by repentance and faith receive the consequences of what Jesus did. Sin and death are enemies that Christ came to destroy. That those who are born of the will of God, those who are born of the second Adam, will not receive eternal death, but eternal life to the praise of His glorious name. So there's only one way to be released from the slavery of sin. That's come to Christ. Come to Christ with a heart of repentance toward God. Come to Christ with faith in Him and all the work that He has done to effect your salvation. But likewise, if you want to know victory over sin, if you want to know a life of holiness and a life of godliness, continue to come to Christ daily. Come to Christ with a heart of repentance and faith. Rest in these truths that the Father is faithful. Through the Son, we receive grace upon grace. And the Spirit of God is powerful to save. The Spirit of God is powerful to fulfill God's promises to His people. And we rest then in those promises that He will keep us and He will powerfully preserve us until the last day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth of grace in Jesus Christ. If we were to stop the story at Adam, we would be without hope. But Father, in the second Adam, we find our only hope and all hope of sufficient grace for salvation and for life in Jesus Christ. For this we thank You in His name. Amen.